to Girls Who Be Ghouls, episode 6. I'm Zena Sade Dixon, realqueenofhorror.com, and I'm here with my co-host, Ashley Blackwell, creator of graveyardshiftsisters.com.
Hi, everyone. Tonight we're going to be discussing witches in horror films, and also our film discussion is Dario Argento's Inferno from 1980. But first, Zena, what have you been up to?
Well, I remember telling you some time ago that I've been working on a short horror film. I filmed my first part of my horror film about 2 weeks ago, and it's going to be a series, and they're going to be 20 minutes each. As of right now, I can't really give you any more information. I'm really trying to keep it as top secret-ish as much as I can, or at least until I release the trailer. So that's one of the main things I fully have been working on, and it kind of been taking up majority of my time.
But now I'm intrigued. So you're gonna have everyone waiting on the edge of their seat, or I really want to know. But I'm not. No pressure.
Nope.
I'll wait. I'm excited. I really am interested to see what you've got. Like, I've seen the stuff that you've done and put on YouTube already, and I like it. You know, we've talked about this before in confidence, but I've said to you, like, I think that you show real promise for being a filmmaker, and that's just my opinion. I think you're very creative, so I'm ready for this. Whatever you've got coming, I'm ready for it.
Well, thank you. See, you make me feel so good about life. Like, I just feel like running outside and screaming. But no, thank you. I really appreciate it. I can't wait to show the trailer. Like, at one point, this was like a week ago, I was going to reveal the title. Mm-hmm. But even with that, I want to keep that a secret until then. So.
Okay.
But now we have to talk about you, because I know that you went to Monster Mania in New Jersey, so you have to tell us everything.
Yeah,
I'm so excited.
No, this is my first Monster Mania, actually, in the summer. I've never gone to the summer one. I've always gone to, like, the late winter, early spring Monster Mania, because it's Monster Mania in Cherry Hill, New Jersey is biannual. Like, they have a couple of other events in Maryland, and I think there's another one in Connecticut, but I usually just go to the one in Cherry Hill because it's literally maybe 30 minutes away from my house. Monster Mania was July 31st to August 2nd this year. What was the prime motivator for me getting to Monster Mania and making a real weekend out of it, not just my Saturday, was Rachel True. When they announced Rachel True, Rochelle from The Craft is going to be there, I was just like, I have to be there Friday night, 5 o'clock when it opens. Like, I was so excited. So, like, ever since I found that out, I was just, you know, just so, like, just all this energy I had up to that point. And, you know, that Friday, I left work early. I told my boss, I was just like, I'm going to leave early because I cannot sit here for another hour and be all excited about what, you know, the fun I'm going to have this weekend. So, you know, I was like a kid on Christmas. So, I went, and a friend of mine was already there with her father, and, you know, I asked her, because I told her, I was just like, so I need you to take a picture of me and Rachel True, so it's like the first thing I'm doing. And she was like, cool, no problem. So, of course, it's the first thing I do. She wasn't in the regular autograph room. She was in the other autograph room that's usually, I've only been in the one autograph room closer to the front of the lobby when Robert Englund was there. And that was just his autograph room only. I never saw it when there was multiple people in there. So, you know, the guy working, one of the volunteers working at the event said, she's in the other room. So I'm like, okay. So I go in there. I meet up with my, I want to wait for my friend first. I meet up with her finally. And I go in and, you know, I say hi to Rachel True and stuff. You know, I'm acting a little bit shyer than usual. And I thank God for my friend, because honestly, I would not have said that I was the girl who runs Graveyard Shift Sisters if it wasn't for her, because, like, my modesty gets the best of me sometimes, and I don't like to be the person who says, well, I did this and I did that. I'm just not conceited that way at all.
Right.
And I just try to say, you know, I'm too humble to a point. And so she said, she runs the site, and then Rachel was like, oh my God, that's you? And I was just like, I was so excited. She was like, oh my God, I read your site. I love what you do. And so I was just like, what?
Wow.
I was just floored. And so she was really nice. And, you know, she did not want me to leave. She wanted to talk my ear off and get, you know, a feel for, you know, what I do and she does, and just kind of like converse as women of color and just women who like to be in the space that we're in, you know, doing hard, doing people doing what we do. And so we talked for a long time. You know, she asked me if I was going to be there, you know, on Saturday that next day, and I was like, yeah. And so, you know, I got to take pictures, I got her autograph, you know, she was really, really nice. Like, there's no other way to put it. I mean, the fact that she like reads my work and like knows of the site and is a fan, I was blown away. And it made my summer.
Yeah.
To be completely honest. And so, you know, that was my Friday night, and I did some shopping. I told my friend who was there with me, I'm just like, I really want, you know, I needed new bags, you know, because I'm a bag person. When it comes to being like a girly girl, so to speak, like the one thing I do really like is having bags. I'm not like I don't like girly bags. Like, I like unique, like tote bags and stuff like pop culture reference type stuff that you can't find anywhere else. So I got like a Bride of Frankenstein bag, and I got the Walking Dead Michonne tote bag. So I got like two really cool bags for like decent prices. That night, and you know, I just did a little bit more like shopping, like got some candles, I got one candle, I got a candle that's like, that's supposed to be like a reference to like the stuff that 80s movie, and it smells like marshmallows, you know, and so like little like stuff like that. I finally found Freddy's Nightmares. Like, I'm literally just like walking around, and I knew it was something because I didn't find it at the last Constant Media, and I knew it was something I always wanted. And like, finally I looked at this one vendor guy, and he had the whole series for like $35. I was like, just give it to me, because I know if I don't buy it now, I probably, you know, it'll probably be another couple of months until I maybe be able to find it again. So I got that, you know. So that was the Friday night. Saturday was just much crazier. Latanya Sprinkles and Booze came down on Saturday afternoon. Yeah, so that was fun. She came with her friends, and her friends are really cool. You know, and more of my friends finally were able to come. Again, I'm walking around, and someone says Graveyard Sister, and I'm like, who's this?
Wow.
And it was his name is Keith Chamberlain. He's a local filmmaker himself. And so we got to talk for a few minutes, and he's really cool. You know, we kind of both know each other. Like, we're both fans of Slashercast. That's another horror podcast we both listen to loyally. Who else was around? Matt from Nightmare 365.
Awesome.
He was around. A couple other Twitter people, you know, that I got to meet that were really, really nice. I wasn't, like, physically, I wasn't feeling 100%. Just the energy and exhaustion of the day for me just kind of got to me. I'm getting old, people. So I braved through it, you know, because I was having so much fun. So unless I was, like, on my deathbed, I was not going to let a little bit of discomfort, you know, just ruin a good time. And, you know, yeah, I did my first Periscope, which is really, really fun. I got, you know, people came on and saw the scope, and then, you know, Rachel again, like, was really nice, and I was just like, you know, hey, Rachel, how's it going? And then she was nice to see the Periscope, and she waved to everyone who was watching and said, you know, I love, you know, you what you and Black Girl Nerds are doing, and I'm happy for that. And so that was fun, too. And what else? Yeah, more shopping, more spending money that, you know, I shouldn't be spending. And me and my friends kind of bitching and sitting around and just like, so I want to meet Mitch Pileggi, but Scanner from the X-Files, but it's $50. And also, like, I wanted to meet Neve Campbell, too. And I kind of wanted to get Skeet Ulrich, a picture with him as well. But that was like, I think it was like $65. I don't know the exact price. But it was really funny because this has been an issue with at horror cons for a lot of people, is like some of the prices people charge for certain things. Like, it's like for Neve Campbell to get an autograph and a picture, I think it was like, don't quote me on this, but I think it was like $150 for both.
I think so too, because I looked at the site.
And some people were just like, it was really hilarious because three guys, while I'm waiting for Rachel, right? Because Rachel wanted to talk again on Saturday. So I'm waiting around, like I'm right next to her because I didn't have anything else to do. So I'm just like, yeah. She was like, don't go anywhere, just wait. And I'm like, okay, fine. And so three guys come to her desk, and then the black dude was like, what's up with your girl, man? Why is she charging that much money? I was dying, cracked up laughing to be fair, he's right. Like, it's because a lot of us are kind of like, we've met icons who have charged less than $50. So we're not trying to meet someone who's not on that level for that much money. Like, we can't, it was hard for some people to justify, you know, hundreds of dollars or, you know, more than even 50, you know, to get that autograph or that picture. And I kind of agree. Because honestly, when I met Robert Englund, I was ready to pay 50. I was like, okay, he's probably going to be $50. Boom, I'm going to do it. It was 30. You know, I was shocked. I was shocked.
Why but he's like, he's Robert Englund. Why is he like so cheap?
He was charging people $30. And I'm like, well, bet. You know what I mean? And the other thing I thought about logically, I'm just like, well, maybe it's because he knows he's going to draw a large crowd, so maybe that's why he's cheaper. But, and I can see that, like, maybe some people bank on not drawing a large crowd, so they charge more. But it's this weird space, because it's kind of just like, well, people like Neve Campbell and Skeet Ulrich, you're gonna draw a pretty big, you know, crowd. In my personal opinion, I don't know. Especially at a horror convention. Mm-hmm. So you can charge, you know, 50 and down. You know, you don't have to, but you'll get more people because if you're charging too much, then people are not going to want to do it at all. Right. They're just going to get, and that's money out of your pocket. You know what I mean? It's interesting. Like, I've heard people talk about this on other podcasts and stuff just recently. And I'm just like, yeah, because some prices are just kind of like, you know, it's like, you know, you know, but all that aside, you know, I got to meet, he was only on, like, what, one episode of The Walking Dead, but, like, everyone knows him as Morgan's son, so the little kid from the pilot, he was not a little kid anymore. He's, oh my God, he was a sweetheart, so I got my picture with him, and just had a general good time, just being with my friends, trying to find, you know, Blu-rays and DVDs you can't find. I got Death by Temptation.
I know, finally. Oh my God, I saw that you got that. I've been looking for it. Like, I checked on Amazon, and the price is sometimes a little bit crazy on Amazon for it. And it's like, I love that movie.
I wish I would have known, because I would have bought you a copy. It was $10.
Oh, like, my God. I'm just yelling in people's ears.
I understand. I mean, Troma always has a booth at Monster Mania, and so this time I was just like, you know what, because I was literally just kind of I was pacing myself this time around. I was just like, let me just really look around and see what's going on and what people have, and I'm at the Troma booth. It's always in the same spot, so I'm just like, you know what, Death by Temptation, of course, that Troma released it, so let me look and see if they have it. At first, it's not like it wasn't like on the front end of the table, so, but I was like, no, let me take my time and look. And so I looked and found it and saw it was like $10 on DVD, and I was like, sold, you know.
Wow.
So I was able to get it. Next time I'm gonna buy you a copy next time, just remind me since you can't find it. So yeah, I found that. A friend of mine, I think she was looking for Tales from the Hood, and I'm just like, yeah, you're probably not gonna find that, because it's not even been released on Blu-ray yet.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. So so it was that, and my friends are funny because they'll point out people who are being shady. And just shady and kind of like, because, you know, there's, with the good, there's the bad. There's always the people who are kind of snooty and uptight about, you know.
Well,
just,
wait, tell us about it. What happened?
It's not like, kind of have like this attitude about, you know, real horror fans versus, you know, horror fans who just want to buy The Walking Dead DVDs or something. I don't know. Something, you know what I mean? Like, people who are just like, you know, like, people, like, you know, that whole idea of I'm more of a horror fan than you because I like the more esoteric stuff. You know, those kind of attitudes. You know, you'll always get a little bit of that here and there. But overall, it's always a good time. I was so happy to be with my friends. I got to also Shout out to Shalita. She's also someone from Philly as well who goes to Monster Mania all the time and wants to meet everyone from all the TV shows and get everything autographed because that's what she does. And so yeah, I mean, in general, I always have a ridiculously good time. And like I said, like I honestly encourage everyone who is a horror fan to go to a convention. You will have so much fun.
Okay, wait, I have questions. Okay. So, what was Rachel True like? What is she like? That's the most important question.
But yeah, a normal person, like, talking about, let me put some breath mints in because I don't want my breath to be smelling. Like, you know, let me pat my face down because my face gets oily. Just, like, she's, like, you know, she is a reminder of just, like, you know, people who have been on movies and television are people, too. You know, you just, they have their quirks and, you know, they have their thing. She does tarot card reading. So if you're in L.A. and you're into that, you know, go check out her website. Her website looks really nice too. I think I'm gonna like the website of her other business while she's not acting with that, because it's really nice. She took a really cool picture for it, for the flyer and stuff like that. She talked about, you know. I think we got into like a general, like this really random conversation about, like, you know, height. Because I think I forget what we were talking about, but she was like, yeah, one of my ex-boyfriends is really tall. Like, just random stuff. Like, she was a normal person. And we just kind of just talked about what we do. Like, she talked about what she does. I talked about, you know, how much I love Half and Half. And I talked about how sick I am of seeing A Different World on TV One. And then she was like, wait a minute, don't do that. She was like, wait a minute, no, because I just went to Kadeem Hardison's birthday party. I'm just like, no, I love A Different World, but I'm so sick of seeing it on TV One all the time. It's like, on all the time, it drives me nuts. And I'm just like, because I want them to bring it back, because they played Half and Half, that the show she was on before, and I love that show. And I'm just like, I wish they would just play that again. And like, see, like, I need, like, you know, if I see Martin in Different Role one more time on TV One, I'm gonna go crazy. But I mean, that's what she's like. That's how she was, you know, with us and stuff. She's just really nice and open, and, you know, just like, you know, giving people hugs and stuff, and it's just cool.
I don't know what else to say. I mean, gosh, why don't you guys go out and have a cup of tea or something? Like, I don't know. Like, tea and muffins, you know? I don't, that way you have something to eat, like a little snack. But that's so cool that you were able to meet her and even hang out with her. And she reads your site. She knows who you are. See, you are a celebrity. People know you. That's awesome.
I think she was great. There's no.
That's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
I know one of my favorite movies that she's in. Like, yeah, I love The Craft. Like, I told you that as well. Mm-hmm. But there's this movie that she's in. It's not really a horror. It's not a horror at all.
Oh, I was going to guess what it was.
Oh, but yeah, no, it's not a horror.
Okay.
It's more of a thriller, mystery, drama, and it's called New Best Friend. It came out in like 2002. I think, I know it's a Lifetime movie, but it's really good. And she's in it. I mean, I wish she would have had like a bigger role, but she, as always, she's always awesome. But it's a really cool movie.
You have to check that out.
Mm-hmm. And did you like open up your Death by Temptation DVD? Did it come with extra awesome features? Like, what's on it?
In the back, there is some extras. I haven't watched it yet because I don't like doing this, but okay. But I might be doing a blog post on it. Film analysis is a lot of work. That's a lot of brain juice. But yeah, it might be a blog post in the future. So I mean, we'll see. I didn't open it. I didn't crack it yet, but I did read the back. There's a couple of extras on it. You know, for better or worse, you know, it's not even really a cheesy movie. I think it's pretty cool. I mean, for what it is, it does. It's very much in the tradition of a black horror film, which is what I like about it. So
you want to know what my favorite part is?
You always are weird. Like, I saw your tweet about, like, we were talking about Beloved, and you tweeted that really terrible line from it, and I started cracking up. I was just like, you always point out the most weirdest stuff about
this film. I can't help it. But, no, come on. That movie, Beloved, I don't remember, like, how old I was. I was probably, like, 10 or something, or 11, and I'm seeing that, and it's just so outrageous. Like, I know everybody's like, oh, it's such a beautiful movie. I don't know. I didn't really like it. Like, and that part where she's saying, I want you to touch me on my inside parts, like, that would make me so upset if I was a man. Like, no, ew, get away from me. Like, that's how I would feel, but maybe that's why God didn't make me into a man. Because I would be even weirder, but with Death by Temptation,
Before you put it on the talk, I was going to say, who said it was beautiful? Like, that's not the word I would use to describe it. I would say uncomfortable.
Someone said that. Like, I don't remember who it was, bless her heart. Like, she follows you and she follows me. I don't want to go look on my Twitter and look for her and embarrass her, but she said it. She said, oh yeah, it's such a beautiful movie. And just like, and I never responded because I didn't want to say, what are you talking about? You know, I didn't want to be that person.
It's all a matter of opinion for sure, but this is just not the first word that come to my mind. But anyway.
I mean, that line does not say beautiful to me. That makes me scared. But with Death by Temptation, I really like the part where...
Oh, God.
Like the she-devil, you know, like she... Okay, this is going to be really inappropriate. I'm going to cut this out, okay? But I just...
Why are you cutting it out? You might as well keep it
out. Okay, all right. Okay, it's with the she-devil and, you know, like she's getting it on with this guy, like the one with his little glasses on. And he was like, oh, I don't know if I like women, right? Him?
Oh, I remember.
Okay, and then she was just like beating on his chest while they were doing it. And I know it's like, hey, that's really immature, but I remember seeing that as a kid and I found it funny, and I'm now an adult and I still find it very enjoyable. Okay, I just had to tell you. I just like telling you things. But okay, no, that seems so awesome. Like, what's the next convention you think that you want to go to?
Well, I have already bought my ticket to Walker Stalker Con, the Philly one. And that is Saturday. I'll be going on the Saturday. So I'll be going Saturday, September 26th, which is what Philly people are calling Pope Weekend, because the Pope is coming to Philly and inconveniencing the hell out of everyone who lives in this city. Luckily, Walker Stalker Con is not at the Philadelphia Convention Center. It is in Oaks, Pennsylvania, which is a hop, skip, and a jump away from where I live. Now, I don't live deep in the city like I used to anymore. I live, it's still definitely Philadelphia, but it's a little further removed from Center City than where I used to live. So I live in Roxborough, which is like Northwest Philadelphia. So, you know, we were able to avoid all of the drama of the Pope being here. Mm-hmm. So that Saturday is going to be smooth. It's going to be a family affair, which is really nice because I've never been to a horror convention with my family.
Yay.
So we're all Walking Dead fans. So, and this is going to be really, really nice. Like, it's going to be nice long story short, you know, about me, like, I didn't grow up with a big family, and I didn't really grow up with a family that felt like, you know, united in a sense. You know, it's very, you know, not to get into all of the drama, but basically it'll be really nice having my very small immediate family, just me and my mom and my youngest brother, and we're just going to go to Walker Stalker Con and have a good time. And yes, damn it, I will be meeting Norman Reedus. I don't give a crap how much it costs. I'm meeting this guy. I don't care.
Okay.
I'm meeting Norman Reedus. It's happening.
All right. So. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. let me know how it is. Don't get trampled. So.
I'll try not to.
Yeah, don't do anything crazy. But I look forward to you telling me about that convention and how you liked it and more of your shopping. Hopefully you buy some awesome things.
I hope I have the money to buy those awesome things.
You will. You have enough time to save.
Yes, I know. I've been keeping that in mind. And then I get one bill, I pay it, and then I get another bill, and I pay it, and I'm just like, it won't end. But I'm going to try to save my money for sure.
You can do it. Okay, so are you ready for the awesome witch and horror film discussion? Because I know I am.
Witches and horror. That sounds, yeah. I want to say the B word. While I was perusing around for some inspiration on our discussion about witches, I found a really cool, funny, insightful quote that I wanted to read. It's from Jack Nicholson's character in The Witches of Eastwick, if anyone's seen it. Mm-hmm. So it goes, quote, "Men are such cocksuckers, aren't they? You don't have to answer that. It's true. They're scared. Their dicks get limp when confronted by a woman of obvious power. And what do they do about it? Call them witches, burn them, torture them, until every woman is afraid. Afraid of herself, afraid of men, and all for what? Fear of losing their heart on." And I thought that was super interesting. I think a lot of the things I found as far as witches is about, you know, we were talking about the craft a little bit earlier, not really talking about it, but talking around it because of us talking about Rachel True. But this idea of, you know, women finding power with, you know, becoming a witch, or, you know, or using what is considered kind of power from nature and using it to their benefit, whether that's for good or for evil or for, you know, whatever's in between. I thought that was really cool idea, especially when you think about witch history and the most I think infamous or famous of the history of, you know, quote, rich witchcraft, and especially in American history, is the Salem witch trials, of course, that everyone has kind of a cursory knowledge of. But I mean, that's kind of the idea, you know, the idea of witches in horror films. The movies are commonly female-centric. They don't, there's less of a focus on male witches. I think you see more of a taste of that maybe in The Wicker Man. But also, you know, as far as women are concerned, it's like, you know, again, women finding and having power, ideas, the ideas that, you know, witches in horror films, they play with the idea of women being inherently evil, the idea of also, you know, the good part of good, however you see it, is witches, you know, having a sense of community and community with each other, you know, about having a circle or a coven, that could be good. And I think, yeah, so those are the kind of general ideas I kind of found and kind of thought were important to kind of bring up. Again, connection to the natural and the supernatural, they kind of both intermingle. But I don't know what you were thinking as far as witches in horror films. Like, what are your first thoughts, like, as far as even films or ideas that you had?
Well, I had a really hard time just first picking out ones that I really, really like, because I think I told you this before, like, I used to have a thing for, like, witches. I don't know what it was. Like, I just wanted to be one. But, you know, not that the one where it's just like, oh, yeah, I'm going to put a spell on you and kill you in your dreams. It was more because I watched, you know, the anime Kiki's Delivery Service when I was a kid, and it blew my mind because she was awesome, and even though she was a cartoon, it was like we were one, okay? So, I don't know, and then I've just always just been really into just witches in general. I just think that they're cool. What's not to like? So it's like I wrote out a whole list of just ones that I really, really liked, but we're only keeping it to two, right?
You can talk about how many you want. I have, you know, I think at this point we can just kind of, you know, spout off our favorite horror films that center around witches or witchcraft. Okay. So I think that's, yeah, just go for it.
All right. Well, the first one I really, really liked is called Witchery. Also known as, I know it has like a different title called La Casa 4 or Witchcraft, and it was made in 1988. It's like an Italian horror movie.
Oh, nice.
Linda Blair is in it, and it's
ooh.
Yeah. Oh my God. So it's the sequel to this movie called Ghost House, which it has the most annoyingest theme song I've ever heard in my entire life. And it's kind of cheesy, Ghost House, but it's okay. But with this one, it had the most unique death scenes I've ever seen in my entire life. And this was released back in 1988. Like, still as of today, I've never seen a movie with those kind of scenes before. It takes place on this island off of Massachusetts, and it's, like, at a haunted kind of resort. And there are, like a girl, Linda, not Linda Blair, but another lady. God, I forgot her name. they Catherine something. But anyway, so they're on this island and Linda Blair is pregnant and, you know, they're looking at different properties to buy. And basically there's like an evil witch. She just doesn't like them. I don't know. I forgot exactly like the correct storyline. I just remember the death scenes and how she, you know, the kind of like the typical kind of a movie where it's like one by one death. So that's my first one. Really like it.
Now I want to see it. I've never even heard of it.
My second one is this movie called The Woods, and it was made in 2006. It was directed by Lucky McKee, and you may know from Cheerleaders Must Die or something, whatever that cheerleader movie was. I'm sorry. That just sounds awful, doesn't it? All cheerleaders die.
Did you see that one? I think it's All Cheerleaders Must Die. I don't know. Yeah. I didn't... If I even attempted to see it, I didn't finish it. Okay. I don't really remember.
Well, you're not missing much. But with this movie, The Woods, it's awesome. And Bruce Campbell's in it. He's not like a major character, but he's in it. And it takes place in 1965. And this girl, she's sent to all girls private school because she pretty much put her family's house on fire. Okay, she's troubled. She's a rebel. I think she just wants attention from her dad. Anyway, finds out that the school, there's something going on really just sinister and horrible at the school, particularly with the staff and the history and even like the woods that surrounding it. It's like it's basically in the middle of nowhere. So I'm pretty sure you've been to Massachusetts before, and not all of it's like that, but I forgot which part they said that it was in. But yeah, it's a really cool movie. And when I first watched it, I had no idea what it was about. I knew it was going to be supernatural because you just kind of get that feel for it. But it's pretty cool and it has an awesome soundtrack. I think that it's streaming on YouTube because when I was looking it up the other day because I was just in the mood to watch it, it's on YouTube. My other one is The Sentinel. I have to mention that one.
Oh, yeah.
God, I love that movie. Even that weird masturbating ballerina. It was just outrageous, but I was just so outraged. I don't know what I would do if some girl was doing that in front of me. I'd just run for my life. But you've seen that one?
I have.
Okay. So you know that one. That one's so awesome. And I really liked Allison, like the main girl. I thought that she was really cool. Kind of dumb. To keep on going back there, but she was really cool. That's a good one. And at first, for me, when I first watched it, I didn't really know that it was about witches. So I think that that's pretty cool that it's kind of like, it's there, but not really. The other one, there's another movie that has Linda Blair in it, and it's called Summer of Fear. And I think it was like a made-for-TV movie, and it's directed by Wes Craven. It came out in the late 70s, and basically it just tells the story of Linda Blair's character starts to suspect like her cousin is practicing like black magic because she comes to stay with them, and all this weird stuff starts happening. I mean, this girl is stealing her life, okay? Like, everybody likes her better, you know, even her parents. It's crazy. And her boyfriend. Her boyfriend pretty much leaves her for him. Like, for the other girl. I know that's, like, a spoiler, but this movie is made in 78. You should have watched it, but it's still
How are our listeners going to have to watch the television movie from the late 70s?
I don't know, but they need to get their life together. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Okay, just in case. Well, if you are interested in it, I'm sorry I gave a spoiler, but that's just one. There's some other outrageous things that her cousin does, too. So, I really liked it. It does have, like, it does have that made-for-TV kind of a feel, but if you don't mind those, I think that you would enjoy it. Then, of course, I have to mention Drag Me to Hell. I really, really like that movie. That movie freaked me out when I first saw it, because I think I told you this. You know, out of all the horror films in general, what really scares me is stuff that has to do with, like, religion, curses, you know, that kind of thing. And you know the storyline. The girl was just she was a regular girl, like, and it sucked so hard. So that freaked me out. But I sometimes just like to go back and just watch it. I've seen it so many times. And I guess just the last one, I mean, because I didn't want to say like the traditional ones that just come straight to mind.
Right.
But have you ever seen The Covenant?
I don't think so, but I'm not sure. It sounds familiar.
Yeah, it came out in like 2006, and it's basically about warlocks. And they basically have, like, the four of them, they have, like, this 300-year-old secret, and that's pretty much that they're warlocks, and they have a lot of money. And it even went to theaters, but for some reason, like, a lot of people just did not like it. I don't know why. I mean, there was a cheesy line that this boy was just, like, you know, mentioning Harry Potter. I don't know where that came from. I guess they was trying to be, like, sassy or something, but it just didn't work out. But it's a pretty cool movie. I don't want to give it away because it is that good, I think. I don't know if it's streaming anywhere. I don't think that it's on Netflix. I would have found it. But it's a pretty cool movie if you have the time to check it out. Let's see. The other movie, of course, that I have to mention is the movie, you know, well, I don't want to say the whole series. I'm just going to go with just the first one. And that's Warlock.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just a cool movie and it has a cool theme. And just like you said, there's not really a lot of like witch slash warlock movies. I consider it like a classic. And I'm okay. No, I won't say that. I was gonna mention once again stuff with remakes, but yeah. But yeah, it's just basically about this guy. Obviously, he's a warlock, and then he was back in like the 1600s, and then he comes to like the present time. And then just the last one that I have is this movie called Witches, and it was made in 1966. I don't really think that's scary at all, but I really like the way it looks visually, and it basically just follows like this occult and like from Africa, and like this lady, she moves to this, she's a teacher, and she moves to this small town, you know, to teach kids and everything, and then she discovers that there's crazy black magic in that town. So I just thought it was pretty cool for its time. So those are the ones I'm going to stick with.
What's that movie called again?
The Witches.
That's just The Witches?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But yeah, what's your list? I'm sorry I blabbed.
I don't really have a list because I like the fact that you chose films that were not the first things you think of or weren't, you know, conventional. You have more of a knowledge of kind of witch-themed horror films than I do. So, the body of work as far as other different films that people may have not heard of. I think for me, what I kind of wanted to bring up and what people may or may not think of as witch-themed films, which I have the Faculty of Horror podcast to thank for, mm-hmm. with this, is the Paranormal Activity series.
Oh yeah,
it's definitely ingrained in the film's mythology. You know, here and there that you know, yeah, this what's kind of running the whole malevolence of what's going on in front of you is this coven of witches. And I found that extremely fascinating because it also, like, you know, even in my own kind of, like, you know, what would you call it? What's the word? You know, facetious vitriol is kind of this idea of, like, you know, these poor girls are being terrorized because their grandmother made a deal with the devil. Like, really? Mm-hmm. Like, that's just, like, that is fucking terrible. Like, you know, I'm just chilling, you know, having a normal life, wanting to be a good person, but, you know, my grandma's a witch, so I'm being attacked by some demons. Like, really?
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine? Like, that is, I think that just ups the level of terror for me with these films. I don't care what anyone says. I love this series. I love all of the films in the series, except for 4. I am crazy. But I like the underlying, I like that subplot that's going on with the coven of witches and who are kind of a part of, you know, what's going on. And even though the subtitle is dumb, I'm really looking forward to the ghost dimension. Like, if we can just kind of, like, you know, not think about it being called Paranormal Activity, the ghost dimension, then it might be a very enjoyable film. And I really hope but I don't, you know, I'm not going to put any money on it. I really hope this is the last film and that they're going to not over-explain everything to where you're dumbing down the audience, but kind of just giving us the nuggets that we can put the pieces of the puzzle together.
Right.
And so I hope that's what they do, and I really hope that this is actually the last one. You know how Hollywood is. They've said about every single big franchise, they said, no, this is the last one, and then there's like three more movies in 10 years.
I
so,
never believe them.
Yeah, so I really hope so. So I think with Paranormal Activity, I thought it was really cool. I thought it was real. It's very basic, though. It's you know, it's this idea of a coven, and it's this really eerie play on kind of, you know, reality. You know, you call me a conspiracy theorist, call, you know, anyone a conspiracy theorist, but this kind of idea, you know, and it's we've seen it, like, even from the darkest film to The Simpsons, we've seen this idea of I would sell my soul to the devil for X. And it's the same kind of concept that's going on in Paranormal Activity. It just really, I think, like I said, it really enhances the terror because, you know, what's going on is kind of it's kind of indirectly affecting the people who didn't have any, you know, who have no knowledge of really what's going on. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like we're led to believe that Katie and Christie's memory from their childhood has been erased because they, you know, I don't want to call it a continuity error. I really want to believe that this, you know, that everything is connected and everything and every plot hole that's going on, it's happening for a specific reason. And so it's like the idea of the theme of witches, like it's kind of like it's this underbelly, it's this insidious thing that's just within the series that's just kind of like it's like a stench, and I just love it because it messes with you. It's really scary. And so, and that's what I kind of like about the series. That's the one thing I wanted to point out. Like, you know, we all know Suspiria. We all know The Lords of Salem. Those are Rosemary's Baby. Those are the films we think of when we think of witches. So I'm really glad you brought up some newer ones that, you know, people may have not heard of. And, mm-hmm. you know, I that's just kind of where I'm coming from with this. And it's good for me, too, because I'm interested in seeing those films. Like, especially, I didn't know that Linda Blair had done so many more films. Like, I know she has a body of work, but mm-hmm. I didn't know to what extent.
Yeah, oh, my gosh. She does some awesome horror movies. Like, there's this one that I think that people seem to forget about it. It doesn't involve witches, but it's more of a supernatural, haunted kind of thing called Hell Night.
Yeah, I've seen Hell Night's good. God, yeah,
love that movie.
Mm-hmm.
So
I like it too. And it's funny because I was just listening to another horror podcast, Kruger Nation, and he was talking about he had kind of a whole Linda Blair kind of a theme his latest episode, but he was talking about her exploitation films, like those women in prison,
mm-hmm.
and those, like, you know, like, have you ever seen like Switchblade Sisters?
No, I haven't.
Oh, yeah, that's like one of those like really like. Like quote sleazy like exploitation films, but it's like it's about like it's those kind of girl power exploitation films, like, you know, it's about girl gangs and stuff like that and how they overcome, you know, dealing with, you know, these despicable guys in their life and stuff like that. So yeah, I mean she's done like those films as well. So yeah, I mean, wow, I have to have like a Linda Blair day with like movies. I have to do this.
That would be an awesome day. But I did want to ask you, just going back to Paranormal Activity, do you have a favorite one?
My favorite is 3.
3?
Yeah. It's definitely the one where they were younger.
Yeah.
Because you can't not... it's really funny. Dude, when they're doing Bloody Mary, like, it's really hilarious. Like, I love... I think it was Katie, right? Because Katie's the oldest one, right? So she's with her mom's boyfriend's coworker, right? And, like, you know all of this weird shit is happening around you, but you say, well, I'm going to play Bloody Mary. Like, how in a child's mind, even a child should know, should be mm-hmm. like, maybe this is not a good idea. But nope. She wants to play Bloody Mary. And so they play Bloody Mary, and then a claw digs in this guy's side, and then they hear this rumbling outside, and then, like, her whole room goes haywire, and they, like, pretty much have to lock themselves in that room for a while because they pissed off the demon. Like, that was terrible. That is scary stuff. I don't know, to me, that just, oh, my God, it's, like, it's terrifying. But it's so... Oh my goodness. I think that movie does a bang up job of just being scary. I mean, the first one, of course, you know, because mm-hmm. the first one, no one knew what to expect.
Right.
So yeah, because you have no context at all in the first one, which is cool, and that was good. But then even with the little taste which you get from Paranormal Activity 3, you see the grandmother. You get that backstory that you need to kind of make things make sense, but you still don't know everything. And I really, really like that. And it was scary to me. I don't know, it's just scary. So that's my favorite. Do you have a favorite?
For me, I think that it's between 4 and 5, honestly.
You liked 4?
I loved 4. I thought it was great.
Man.
I mean, that kid with the sandals and socks, first he was like the star of the show. But I don't know, I really liked it because, to be honest with you, I'm not really a big fan of the series. Like, even with the first one, like, I appreciate what they did filmmaking-wise. You know, and they were independent filmmakers. It was low budget. The whole found footage thing, it was awesome. Like, I love the idea of it, but I was bored. I wasn't scared. And I remember telling you, like I said even before, that kind of stuff usually does scare me, but I was bored. Part 2, I don't even remember it. Then part 3, like, those little girls, I mean, it was freaky, but it's just, they were really getting on my nerves. But with 4 and 5, I felt like, with 4, they had, like, characters that I liked. And sometimes because sometimes for me, if there's a storyline that isn't as cool, like, I don't really think that it's cool or unique or it's not standing out, I then look at the characters.
Right.
So I like the characters that was in, 4 and 5. More of 5, I don't know. I thought they were more relatable and they seemed more real. Yeah, there was some stuff that's just like off about it. Like, it's not my favorite found footage movie. Like, I even did like a top 10 found footage list. And even when I did it, people was like, oh, how can you even think of 10? You know, but none of them were really on my list, because it's like I think I kind of like 5 more.
I will say I really like the marked ones. I liked 5. It's not even considered Paranormal Activity 5. Apparently, it's like a spinoff.
Yeah,
but I really liked it. I was telling my mom, it's really funny. I was just like, I loved in the finale of the marked ones. Like, they, for the first time, someone actually pulls out a gun, and they're just like, if we're going to go into a dangerous situation, we're going to have guns. Like, you know, finally someone has a little bit more sense.
And that's what I mean. Like, they just seemed more realistic. Like,
right.
So that's what I looked for. And it's like, I'm not saying like, I hate the series. I don't hate the series. It's just kind of just there, you know? Like, even when the movies come out, I don't run to go see it, you know, in the theaters. If I get around to seeing it, that's great. But if not, you know, it's just something that happens.
You gotta see the Ghost Dimension, man.
I mean, I'll see it probably eventually, so.
Yeah, I should make it a podcast episode, so you have to see it.
Then it's like, I don't know, then I'll just make sure that somebody else is paying for it. I just don't want to pay for it. But yeah.
I would, if we lived in the same city, I'd pay for it.
See?
Because that would be fun. That sounds like a fun night out. You could just go see the Paranormal Activity, the ghost. I can't even say it.
Yeah, and then it's like, dumb. You know what I think about too with the movies? Like, I know with a lot of horror movies, this is how it is. You go to go see it in the theaters, and then you have those 14-year-olds, you know, with their braces, and they're screaming at the top of their lungs, like, ah! And it's like, guys, it's just the opening credit. Like, you know, so it's like, I don't know if I can take that. So if I were supposed to see it in theaters, it would have to be in theaters for a good while before I go in there. Because nothing ruins a movie more than that, like, I feel. Like, I just wouldn't want to watch the movie. Like, I don't want to hear you screaming.
I agree. They only had an issue because I went to one of these, one of these, like, small towns in Pennsylvania, because I was with a couple of friends, and one friend needed to go up there to see his parents for whatever reason. So me and his wife went to go see Paranormal Activity 2, And the crowd was, and it was opening night, so I don't know what we were thinking, but like, I don't know why, I think because the crowd was kind of amusing. Like, there was a guy screaming like a girl, I kid you not. And then it was a crowd, it was a packed house, and then there was one guy where one girl was being, was like audibly scared, and then he was just like, oh, what, you're so scared? And then she's like, yeah, I am. So it was just like, it was weird. Like, it was like a lot of back and forth and bantering and like not annoying talking, but like it was almost like Mystery Science Theater 3000 and, mm-hmm. and you know, in the hood, in the white suburban Pennsylvania hood. Kind of, I'm saying it correctly, but that's what it felt like. So it did, it's very hit or miss with people talking in theaters. It bothers me 9 times out of 10. That one time it didn't bother me so much, but I had a good time. But I see what you're saying. When I saw the marked ones, I saw Paranormal Activity 4 as well. I don't think I saw 3 in the theaters, but I saw 4 in the theaters, and the theater was okay there. It was quiet. And then, but when I saw the marked ones, there was like, I think I did see it that week. I think I saw maybe the first evening show on Friday, but it was still not a bad crowd at all. Mm-hmm. Like, it was really quiet.
Yeah.
So I haven't had too many problems with that. But I think if I see the Ghost Dimensional opening night, it's probably going to be crazy. But we'll see. Cause especially because it's going to be around Halloween time.
Yeah. So. But, I mean, if you see it before I do, I'm pretty sure that you'll tell me everything or let me know if I should go see it.
I'm not going to spoil it. I mean, if you're not a fan, I guess I understand what you're saying, not being a fan of a franchise. Because, like, for example, I'm not a fan of the Saw franchise, like, at all. Like, you know, I'm probably going to get tomatoes thrown at me, but I don't even think I think I saw the first one, but didn't really pay too much attention to it. Like, it didn't hold my interest a lot. I know that sounds crazy, but it just didn't. Like, I think I enjoyed Saw 2 more than the first one. I know that sounds crazy.
No, that doesn't that sound crazy, crazy at all. I actually like the third one better than the first one.
Okay.
So, and
I don't even remember if I've ever seen the third one, but
I don't know. Like, you know how I feel about.
Yeah. There's series. So many of them.
Yeah, yeah. You lose count, but I just remember that I really like that one.
That's so, something I'll probably have to revisit sometime in the future, but yeah. I'm just not crazy about it, but. But I like Shawnee Smith, but that's a whole other thing.
So, was there any other witch horror films for you?
I mean, I just wanted to point that one out. I think you had a really solid list. I think we should just stick with that. I really did want to mention Paranormal Activity, primarily because I don't think that's a film that people would associate with, you know, the witch theme, especially being an overarching theme.
Right. What about, like, just the last question on that. Mm-hmm. Were there any, like, witch theme horrors that you didn't like?
Not that I can think of. A lot of films just, I don't know, yeah, it's just, it's never, it's not, I think in general, I think, I don't think themes necessarily when I'm thinking of horror films, like of my, what my favorite body of horror films are. I mostly think of genres, so like, you know, found footage or slashers. So as far as themes, I watch anything at any time. There's nothing I particularly don't like or that stands out as far as a witch horror film that I don't like. I even like the quote non-horror witch films like Hocus Pocus and things like that. Oh, I love God. Hocus Pocus.
I love Hocus Pocus.
Yeah.
Yes. There was this have you ever seen Halloween Town?
I've never seen it. I think Sweet Jesus. Or maybe someone else.
Halloween Town defines the 12-year-old me. I wanted to be the main girl, Marnie, so bad because she finds out that she's a witch and her mom has been keeping it from her. But then when she thinks back, it just makes sense because she has like a little sister, and whenever her sister has like temper tantrums, crazy things would happen in their house. And she has a brother and he's nerdy. It's like a whole town where it's Halloween all the time, Ashley. All the time. Like, oh my God, I just wanted to live there and I wanted her life. So, but that's a pretty cool movie. I'm pretty sure they'll probably show it around Halloween. I know it's like a Disney movie, but it's awesome.
No, I think they do, because I have cable, so I think they show, every October, like, you know, they always do the 31 Days of Halloween, so I think, like, ABC Family or the Disney, one of the Disney channels will definitely show it, and I'll watch it. Like, I think I'm looking forward to fall, like a lot of other people, more for the fact that, like, Halloween is close, and, like, you know, the leaves will change, and we'll have leaves in Florida. But
I mean, there's leaves, but it's just... I can't defend it. It's just hot. It's just hot, like, all the time. But you know what? I tell you something. It really does. It gets, like, probably, like, 5. It goes a little bit, like, 5 degrees under. So instead of it being, like, 85 degrees, it's 80. So I'm looking forward to that. No, but seriously, though, sometimes it does get cold here. Not crazy, though.
Okay, whatever you say. I guess I believe you, because I've never even visited Florida. But yeah, so you're gonna miss the ambiance of, like, just being in the fall and here. But you know, but it's still Halloween wherever. So you know, the leaves are gonna change. It's gonna be like my cutest clothes are fall clothes anyway. So there's that element to it, and then there's going to be all the stuff that's going to be on television and all the stuff in stores. Everyone's complaining about seeing Halloween decorations, but shoot, I'm kind of looking for Halloween decorations now myself personally.
I have been seeing them, and I'm very happy. I'm on the search for candy corn.
Oh, wow. I can't do candy corn anymore. That's just, it's just pure wax and sugar. I'm like,
I'm
nah.
Down for it. I gave up soda, and now I'm turning to that, so...
I have to order my bougie vegan treats candy so I can, like, actually eat it without getting sick, so, because I can't have regular candy anymore, which is terrible.
Oh,
but
my God, why?
My body just says, nah, to lactose, so I have to, like, order from, like, those online stores that have, like, you know, vegan candy or gluten-free or whatever. But I ordered some last year, because it's cool, because the place in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, the vegan treats place there, the bakery, like, she has, like, these, like, Halloween, like, kits or whatever. Like, so if you order one, she, like, sends you, like it'll be, like you know, Halloween, like, color confetti, and she'll, like, gingerbread, like these skeleton gingerbread man and, like, you know, pumpkin whatever kind of candy, or, like, you know, like candy bars and things like that, or, like, she makes like a Twix candy bar too, so, like, all kinds of, like, cool, like, Halloween decorated kind of stuff. I got it last year, I'm gonna get it this year. Like, she made, like, eyeballs, like eyeball truffles and stuff like that, so, like, it's neat, but it sucks that I can't just, like, go down to, like, Rite Aid and, like, buy a bag of Kit Kats, but that's just my life. Like, I can't do anything about that. So
it's okay.
I know, it's sad. Like I'm not, like, I tell people, I'm like, I'm not being bougie. I'm like, this is just a necessity. Like, if Ashley wants to eat candy, Ashley has to get, like, candy that has, like, no milk in it. So that's just how things are for me. But it's all good.
I'm sorry.
Everyone apologizes. I've been living with this all my life. I am okay. I'd rather not have like cold, like, symptoms all the time and eat candy that's good for me. So I'm fine. I'm totally fine with it. But we've gone off on one hell of a tangent. The next up is our discussion of Dario Argento's Inferno. Inferno was released in 1980, and the synopsis reads, an American college student in Rome and his sister in New York investigate a series of killings in both locations where the resident addresses are the domain of two covens of witches. It was written and directed by Dario Argento. It stars Lee McCloskey as Mark Elliott, Irene Miracle as Rose Elliott, Eleonora Giorgi as Sarah, Daria Nicolote. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. These names, though, like, they're crazy.
Daria Nicolodi as Elise Stallone Van Adler, Sasha Pichiel as, I know that name, Kazanian. I'm not saying it right. I always forget the names of people sometimes. Also, Alida Valli as Carol the caretaker, and Veronica Lazar as the nurse. And also, one more, Gabrielle Lavia as Carlo. So, Zena, do you want to get us started?
So, I've never fully watched this movie before. I think I've watched bits and pieces of it because it looked very familiar, but it was obviously a long time ago, so I didn't fully remember it. Visually, this movie is gorgeous. I love Dario Argento's movies that he does. I think that he is fantastical. With this movie, going into it, I remember hearing from some people how if you like Suspiria, you'll like this movie. Or if you haven't seen Suspiria, because apparently it's connected. I mean, I don't want to call it a sequel or anything, but it's like connected.
It's basically a sequel. It's the Three Mothers trilogy, what a lot of people call it. Like, Suspiria was based on the Mother of Sorrow, and then like it's like the opening of the film, and like in the Mother of Darkness was Inferno, and then the Mother of Tears was the one that came out much later.
Yeah.
So you're right. It is a sequel. So
I just felt like at first it just seemed like it was kind of like a riddle that the story was, since these characters, they had to find just three keys and just discover like the truth of all this craziness that's been going on. I have to be honest with you and tell you, I didn't love it, but I didn't hate it. But then again, it's like, I'm wondering if I'm being biased because, like I told you, I love Dario Argento. You know, I think that he is a great filmmaker. He clearly has an eye for it. I'm just not really too sure about the storyline because it seems like there's so much happening, but there's so little going on. You know what I mean? If that makes sense.
That makes sense.
So it's kind of like I don't know, like the story seemed like it wasn't fully together, but they kept on showing all these great things visually, you know? I love the showcase of the like the main villain, Mother of Darkness, and you know how she's described as the most evil of the sisters and everything. I love the whole story, that part of the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even saying like, oh, if I did it, I would have did it this way. I don't know, because I just feel like it could have been better than what it was. And even when I think about with the actors and actresses that's in it, they seemed kind of lost. But then I remember reading an article that Dario wanted them to seem like they were like children, personality-wise. Because I don't know if you remember...
He said that about Inferno? Because I know he said that about Suspiria.
Inferno. It was Inferno, okay. I read that. And I don't remember which one it was. Maybe it was with Sarah. She was the one who was in the classroom, right?
I think Sarah was a sister.
Okay.
No, you're right. I think you're right, yeah.
Okay. Well, with her, when she, you know, decided to, you know, go to the library, because after reading that letter, and it's just like she was just so into that letter, like, and so curious to find out what's going on. And it's crazy that a simple letter can make you be that curious. So when she goes to the library and she takes out the book and she's just running downstairs with the book, and when that guy with the clawy hands, you know, wants to take the book back, and she's just holding on to it like for dear life, it kind of just reminded me of like a toddler, because you know, like toddlers do that stuff if you're trying to take away their tear like toys or something like that. But I don't know, then even when I think about with the other character Mark, he just seemed like he had no idea what was going on, like that he was confused and even tired all the time, you know? And I'm hoping that he wasn't like that in real life, like he was just a tired individual. But mm-hmm. I don't know, it worked out with his character.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the idea of seeing him have tired spells, I think that has a lot to do with, because when I was watching it with a couple of friends of mine, especially the scene where he's in the lecture hall with the music and he sees the woman with the cat, that's supposed to be the Mother of Tears. And it's kind of, I think I would argue that it's similar to in Suspiria with Susie's character. Like, it's like, You come under some kind of a spell if you're getting kind of, if you are either, I guess, I would say Susie in a sense was charmed because they didn't want her to leave the dance academy building. So they wanted her to stay. And so keep her to stay. Let's keep her physically kind of restrained. So she's tired and she's having these spells and she's feeling sick. And I felt the same thing was going on with Mark, especially when you see the Mother of Tears. And she's kind of, it looks like she's kind of like, you know, just in his presence and like she's doing some kind of incantation on him. If I'm, I don't know if I'm using the right word. But so that's the part where you kind of see him get tired or distracted, because it's like she's trying to distract him away from
the music,
the letter that his sister has sent him. Mm. So I think that was kind of a play on that. So if I'm just
you know, I was gonna talk about her because what, I didn't even say anything yet. When I was watching this, you know, it kind of caught me by surprise that they were in a classroom and then there's this girl with a cat. And I'm like, okay, so nobody notices that this girl's sitting there with a cat. All right, whatever. So it's like, I was getting upset because she was just staring at him. And, you know, I wasn't getting who she was. And it's like, yeah. I watched it with Rico, and so everybody, like, he was getting annoyed with me because I just kept on talking. Like, you probably won't want to watch movies with me, Ashley, because I just keep on talking if something blows my mind. Like, and I have to pause it, and we have to have a discussion. Like, wait a minute. How come nobody notices that this girl has a big, like, a fat cat in the car? Like, it looked like a well-fed cat. Like, this cat did not miss a meal. And she's just staring at him. And it's just like, okay, like, can I help you? Like, I was getting so annoyed. And then I realized, like, later on, oh, so then it made sense. I guess I realized who she was when he saw her again in the cab. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, just that cat threw me off. And I just couldn't stop, like, rewinding the part and just staring at the cat. Like, I didn't even care about her. It was just that cat.
Argento said something about, like, he likes using animals in his films. I forget the exact what he said, but yeah, I keep in mind when I watch these things, I'm glad this wasn't my first time seeing Inferno, because I like it more than you do. It's good to see it. It's one of those films that you do have to see more than once, and it would benefit, I'm going to say, people who are not familiar with these films, it will benefit you a bit to see Suspiria before Inferno.
Yeah, okay.
But I see what you're saying, and I think because, like I said, I saw it with my friends, and they're much more well-versed in Italian horror, especially Argento, than I am. So, like I said, like when I was first watching it with them, and we see the lady with the cat, and I'm just like, and it doesn't really register with me like it did with you, but like because my friend immediately says, she looks at my other friend, and she says, is that the Mother of Tears? And my friend's like, yeah, you know, and she says it so nonchalantly because she's been watching these films for years.
But I don't get how that makes sense. Like, I get what you're saying. Like, when you're first viewing it, like, what is that? Like, did they mention that she had a cat? Or, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, I need to do better when it comes to Italian horror, I guess, because I was completely in the dark until, like, the end.
No, I get it. I didn't... Wait, repeat your question again. I totally lost my
train of thought. No, I'm sorry. And plus, I interrupted you. But, like, I was just wondering, like, how... Do you think other people had... like that problem when they first watched the movie, just like, okay, who's the girl with the cat? You know?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I can see that, totally. It's funny because I have the Blu-ray, so you know, of course I watched the extras, and like they even said, like Suspiria, like I think the problem with it wasn't well received, especially in the United States. So a lot of people were comparing it to Suspiria, which is fair because it is technically a sequel, or it is a sequel. It's not a sequel in the terms that a lot of people think of a film as a sequel to another film. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that might be a reason why it for a lot of people it may feel very disjointed and incomprehensible. So I can see the issues with certain things. I think it's funny. It's one of those films that it does rely on mood and a lot of just pretty visuals that kind of just suck you in, and you're just like, and I think the tone of it really works very well too. But again, it's a very slow paced film, and a lot of things, especially, will not make sense the first time you see it. So I can understand why people don't have a love or even a like for it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, one of my favorite scenes actually was when the first girl, Rose, when she drops her her keys down that water hole.
Right.
And then she goes down there, and then there's like an entire room underwater, and it's just antique stuff, and it looks all sinister.
Mm-hmm.
I like that it was like not the typical, you know, when you watch a horror movie and it's like the typical gothic room. All they did was just fill it with water, and it was just beautiful. And even with the kill scenes, I really like the, I know that sounds really terrible when I talk about people getting murdered, but I mean, I thought that the kills were pretty awesome.
Yeah, Argento has a thing for kills. Like, they're very prolonged, and they're bloody, and they're uncomfortable to watch, especially when you've got, like, animals attacking people, which is, ugh. That's a thing for me. But, yeah, that's kind of a running kind of a thing in the film. Like, you see, like Mark's character, like, in order to kind of find out what's going on, he goes, you know, below. He descends into the building. And the same thing with his sister in the beginning, where she kind of, like, goes, she, you know, by happenstance, but she's still kind of looking for something when she reads the Three Mothers book.
Mm-hmm.
So she understands that there's something she needs to find below. So I think that's kind of a running theme throughout the film. And every time somebody goes below or down somewhere, something, you know, something bad happens, or you find out something that, you know, or like a secret is uncovered. And the same thing happens in Suspiria when Susie finds the clues to go, you know, below, or to find secret tunnels and places.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the idea. Like, you know, Dario Argento said himself, he likes the idea of those kind of constructions, which is probably why the buildings and you know, the architecture in his films are so pretty and beautiful, because he kind of likes those ideas. Like, he wanted, like, with, ooh, excuse me, with Mother of Tears, with Inferno, he wanted to play with the idea of, like, you hear the word in the film of alchemy. And alchemy is basically, you know, the medieval forerunner of chemistry. It's based on, you know, transformation of matter. So, you know, like, it's really kind of, like, extra textual in a sense of, like, his ideas were for this film. But still very ingrained in what you see in the plot as well. I know that sounds really kind of weird and convoluted, but I think that's kind of, I think that's Argento's approach, is to kind of be, you know, that guy who's always putting layers on layers on layers in his films, where it's not straightforward, so you have to kind of discuss it, and it's so damn pretty that you want to watch it again, maybe, mm-hmm. You know. So
yeah,
that's just kind of my idea.
You're right. I mean, I wouldn't mind watching it again, so that's why I don't think that it's a bad movie, but I still kind of liked Suspiria better.
Yeah,
so.
And that's fair.
But even with the kills, like, sorry, it's even going... Just going back to that, like, I really, really love the scene with the cats and how they were attacking.
Which scene?
When they were attacking Countess Alice or whatever. Yeah, not that other one. That was just terrible. But, yeah, I really, because I've never seen that before. I've seen maybe one cat, you know, but not like multiple ones. Just, it's pretty cool.
Just attacking people.
Mm-hmm. It was really cool. But what about you? Do you have a favorite scene?
I don't know. I think my favorite scene is the very last scene where you see kind of the transition. I think also Lamberto Bava, which a lot of people may know, who's the director of Demons.
Yeah.
He was kind of a co-director of sorts of this film. Like,
mm-hmm.
I know he apparently filmed this scene, the underwater scene. And I think his father, Mario Bava, I believe this is correct, was he was partially influential for the last scene where you see the Mother of Darkness, and where she, you know, she calls herself Death, like that part. I think he was influential in the visuals of the kind of like the skeleton and in that transition, and just kind of like make it like, you know, have that have more of an effect. So I kind of like that. I kind of like the reveal scene. I thought that was pretty cool. I really like the visual of her like going from looking like a normal person to the Grim Reaper. I like that a lot.
Were there any characters that maybe ruffled your feathers or?
No, not in particular. I mostly just felt bad for like the old man when he was attacked by the rats. So that's like a fate worse than death. Like I wouldn't wish that on anyone.
Yeah.
Being attacked by some rats. I've heard some really terrible horror stories about rats. Rats just scare the hell out of me anyway. So it's the same thing in like in Suspiria. I know we're not talking about Suspiria, but like the part where like the poor blind guy, right, where his dog gets possessed and attacks him. I'm like, that just hurts my feelings. Like
yeah.
I feel so bad. So no, I mean, if anything, I felt a lot of sympathy especially for the characters who weren't, you know, direct antagonists. I thought some of the lines were pretty funny. Like when Sarah's character, is that her name? Sarah? I'll be getting names mixed up. So yeah, Sarah, when she's talking to the guy and he was like, did she say like something like, have you ever heard of the Three Sisters? And like the guy's like, what, those black singers?
Oh, yeah. Oh my God, that made me laugh. That made me laugh.
It's so funny because it sounds like, I don't know. I almost want to say it's such a white male European like dialogue thing to put into your movie, but maybe not. I don't know.
But I mean, the Three Sisters, like, you know, you're...
Oh, what, those black sisters?
Yeah. So it's just kind of like, oh, yeah. So, but it made me laugh. So, well... The person who really got on my nerves was Rose, because she was taking her sweet time getting her keys, and we all know that something's going to happen. Like, I can't believe that she even went down there. I'm sorry. If my keys fell down there, I'm not going down there. I don't know what I'm going to do for the night, but it's just, I don't know. That's crazy. And how deep it was?
Yeah,
no.
That struck me because I'm trying to, and it made me think about something that I've thought about for years. Ever since I learned how to swim, I'm just like, okay, how do people see underwater? Because I cannot open my eyes underwater. I just can't do it. Like, I don't know. Maybe that's genetics. I don't know. Like, I'm just trying to figure out an explanation as to why, like, some people find it easier to see underwater and some people can't. I'm not one of those people.
And plus, that's clearly, like, dirty sewer water. Like, there was, like, a dead body in there. She just had her eyes wide open and her nipples showing. And, you know, it's just, I just can't believe that she went down there. And honestly, I can't swim. But even if I could, I'm not going down there. Like, it was so deep. And she could hold her breath for a long time. So she was just, like, really, like, getting on my nerves, especially when she finally got her keys, and she's just, like, kind of, like, playing with them in her hands. I don't know. It was just weird, and I just wanted to be done with it. So.
Well, that's fair. I also wanted to mention a couple of things. I also noticed a kind of a division between the men and the women in the film. It's this whole idea of, you know, women, they believe in the supernatural elements that are going on, or in the book itself, you know, they believe it. And then the men, they don't really believe it at first. They're hesitant. They're just like, you know, I don't believe in any of that stuff, and you know, but the women do. And it's interesting. And also, you know, their female victims are more, I think it feels like women die before any men do in the film as well. So there's little things like that that I noticed. Also, just little side notes, to kind of wrap things up. I noticed, not noticed, but it's, I found it interesting. I realized that James Woods was originally supposed to play the Mark character, I think, but for like scheduling conflicts or whatever, he couldn't. And also, I didn't realize it because when I was a kid, I loved soap operas when I was like middle school. Mm-hmm. And Lee McCloskey, like, I was like, why does that name sound familiar? And then when I'm watching the Blu-ray extras, he mentioned being on General Hospital, and I'm just like, oh my God, that's where I know you from. I used to love General Hospital. And he played like this like douchebag character on General Hospital like 15, 20 years ago now. And I was just like, oh my God, that's you. So I thought that was really cool. I mean, It's interesting to see him as a younger person in Inferno because he looks completely different than he did in like the mid 90s. So I thought that was really cool as two side notes that I found out about this film.
Well, the film after this one,
mm-hmm.
that's Which Mothers of not, Tears.
Yeah, it's the Mother of Tears. It wasn't that good.
No.
I don't really remember the film all that well. I remember being very lackluster and being very, it felt like The Howling 2 a bit, and it's kind of like campiness. And also, like, there's like scenes, and I saw this one with my friends too. So there's like scenes of like where like the main character's kind of like running or having like this kind of action sequence, and then you see like her point of view, but you see like this like floating ghost in front of her, and like I can only remember my friend, she's just sitting there cracking up laughing every time the ghost is on the television, because it's so cheesy looking. And so that's what I associate the Mother of Tears with, which is not good. It was made, I think Mother of Tears was like made in the early 2000s, so there was a huge gap between Inferno and the Mother of Tears, so it wasn't that great. I can't really recommend that one. If you are a completist, see it. But it wasn't something that was fully engaging, I will say.
Okay. Because, I mean, I was thinking I might as well should just check it out. Because I've never seen it. I've heard of it. But mm-hmm. never seen it. So, I mean, if I get around to it, that'll be great. But if not, you know, it happens.
Just let me know. So, Zena, is there anything else you had to say about Inferno?
No, I think I got just about everything out, pretty much. I can't really think of anything else that stood out for me. What about for you?
I pretty much said everything I wanted to say, too. I would love for you to give it a Minority Report rating.
I'm going to give it white, wider than the Oscars.
I really like Inferno. It's definitely a film that requires a bit of patience, and it definitely requires some context. So you need to get a firm grasp on Suspiria. And if you don't like Suspiria, you probably won't like Inferno.
Yeah.
As far as a Minority Report reading, it is one whiter than the 2015 Oscars. But it's a European film. It's interesting. I was thinking after watching, you know, all of these films, I was thinking about all of the women of color in particular in Italian films. I know that there is a documentary now being made about, black folks in Italian cinema in general.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'm interested more so in the black women in Italian horror cinema. And there are more than what people would imagine, definitely. So I'm looking forward to sharing that as well. But it would have been cool. Unfortunately not in some of these major films that people know of, but still, I mean, it doesn't, obviously, you know, how many black people or people of color in these films do not take away from their enjoyment, for sure. But That's I shouldn't even have to say that, but that's clear. But this film, definitely, all white folks, but I enjoyed it immensely, and so, but it's definitely an acquired taste. I'm trying not to go off topic, but I do want to make a point to say, on the record, with our listeners and with you, Zena, is it's really difficult to be a horror fan and give recommendations to people, because what you love,
mm-hmm.
or what you enjoy may not easily, especially with horror, may not be something that someone else might like, you know?
Right.
We all have different, very strong opinions on things when it comes to horror, because it's so niche and close knit, and there's so many different subgenres. You know, it's really hard to give people recommendations. I mean, like, where do you start? Like, I have to know you. Like, you have to give me something in order for me to say, if you like this, then you might like this. You know?
Right.
And that's important. It's one of the things I struggle with, which is why when people ask me, I don't like doing that, because I don't know you well enough to say you might like this. You know, I think horror films require a certain level of intimacy if you're giving out recommendations. So this is just my opinion. So we are going to close out the show. We'll be right back.
Okay, and now we're going to tell you guys some of our recent movie watch recommendations. If you don't mind, Ashley, I'm going to go first. And I'm going to recommend the movie Almost Mercy, directed by Tom DeNucci. Hopefully I'm saying his last name right, because I always just pronounce things terribly. But it was released this year, I believe. And it's basically just one of those movies. I don't know if this happened to you before where you watch a movie and it's going on days, maybe even weeks since you've seen the movie, but you can't seem to get it out of your head in a good way. Mm-hmm. This movie was one of those for me. It just basically tells the story of like these two kids. They're outcasts and they're grown up in this small town, and they're, you know, constantly being picked on like by their peers, by authority figures, and pretty much they find a bond. And they just stick together and they grow up together, like from little kids in middle school until they're in high school. And like I said, they're constantly being picked on. And it shows like a story of bullying, but it also shows like the story of, like, you know, those teenage horror movies where you think that you know how exactly it's going to happen, but I didn't know what I was getting myself into when I watched this movie. Like, I've heard of it before. I didn't watch the trailer. I just heard of it. So I decided one day just to check it out. And I really enjoyed it. It was well written and had great actors. It's an independent movie, but it's so sleek. Like, it's just, and even with me telling you about wanting, you know, I plan on filming like a short film of my own, it's just inspiring to see this movie. It had some awesome music, like especially like there's like this score in it where it's kind of like kind of sounds hip-hop-ish, and I know it's just like, oh, how does that fit? Surprisingly, it fits. But you just know sometimes when you watch like a horror movie and they try to fit in like hip-hop music, it is just like, what are you guys doing? This is corny. Why are you here?
Unless it's a... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But it fit. It fit perfectly. Anyhow, I think that this movie is really awesome, and I feel like it's the best movie that I've seen so far this year. So just hopefully, I recommend it to people to check it out before they take it off of Netflix. Because you know Netflix have a habit of doing that. Like, if a movie is too good, then they'll take it off and ruin everybody's life. So. So, what about you? Do you have any recommendation?
Cooties. Go see Cooties.
I didn't know it was out yet.
It's not. I was lucky enough to scroll through my Twitter timeline and see a local Twitter account for, you know, entertainment, you know, goings on in the city, and they had some tickets for a free screening.
Oh my God.
Downtown, and I was quick enough with the draw to get two tickets.
Yes.
And drag my friend out of her home to come see this movie with me. So I got to see Cooties.
How was it?
It's so much fun.
Okay.
It is a fun movie. Because it is not even, it'll be on VOD next month. I'm not sure if it's getting a theatrical release or not. I just don't know off the top of my head. But I don't want to give anything away, but that is a fun comedy horror film. Go see it. Elijah Wood is adorbs. And like, it just, everyone was just really good. You can, of course, you can find some reviews of it online so far. I think, I forget the one review I found, but it was pretty accurate as far as, you know, how the characters are used to kind of buffer some of the action that goes on. Because, you know, the general premise is that kids are kind of infected by something. I don't want to give it away. You can probably figure it out on your own, but again, I have to reiterate the fact that I am the anti-spoiler, so I don't like saying too much unless, you know, of course for this podcast, when we talk about a film, we have to spoil it. But, like, if we're just talking about, you know, what we watched recently, especially if it's a movie that's not even out yet.
Right.
So I don't want to give it away. But it is a fun ride. Like I said, the characters are kind of used to buffer some of the action that surrounds the kids that, you know, that are part of the school that these teachers are in. But at the same time, it doesn't deter too much away from what's going on with the action. It adds to it, especially the emotional element that you kind of get with the teachers and what kind of and what they have to do in order to survive. But it is a really fun film. It's quotable, like in the most inappropriate way. But it's a lot of fun. I hope everyone who likes horror, especially horror comedies, this is definitely one you have to see.
Okay. I'm really looking forward to checking that one out. Oh my God.
I want you to do a review on it. So I want to see your review.
Okay. All right. Okay.
You are distracted.
No, because I'm just thinking, like, it's like, I'm glad that you're not giving away the spoilers, but it's like, I'm thinking if I want you to tell me when we're off the air. So that's why I'm just like, no, I don't want to spoil it for myself.
This is a movie, I don't know, I think it'll work better if you go in there with fresh eyes and, like, not really knowing too much, you know? I did want to say a couple of things, because I just recently saw them this week. So I tried to watch Detention again. I didn't realize that this was my second time trying to watch this movie. That's how bad my experience was for the first time. Because I saw the, I believe it was film4.com, their best horror movies of the 21st century. Or the first decade. I don't know. I am so bad with remembering certain things. So my apologies, people. But, like, okay, so Detention was on it, and then I did a Tumblr post about the girl who was in Detention. Let me get her name again for you guys one more time to make sure. Her name is Tiffany Boone, and she played Mimi in the movie. So I'm like, okay, let me give this movie another shot. And I don't think I even made 30 minutes in. I'm just like, this is terrible. Like, people, like, I can't, the dialogue is just bad. And then that bitch-ass looking guy from The Hunger Games is in it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, where do I know his annoying face? And I'm like, oh, he's PETA in The Hunger Games. I hate the name PETA, and I hate his face. And I just don't like him. He's just one of those people, and I'm just like, oh.
PETA.
I know that name is just so, ugh, no. And I couldn't, like, the first line in the movie where that girl's like, my name is such and I'm a bitch. Like, I'm just like, stop talking. Like, I could not get behind that movie. And I don't know. Like, I just don't like, I didn't like the pacing. I hated the dialogue. And I'm just like, I'm just not one of those people who could have gotten behind that movie. I'm sorry. It's funny because, like, it's like for example, like, I know Unfriended, I think that came out on VOD or DVD and Blu-ray just this week, and I liked Unfriended. Like, I think I liked it because it's in the realm of Detention where it's like, it's definitely catered to a younger audience. I think an older audience can appreciate it because a lot of you guys online, and you, including you, Zena, you like Detention.
I love
cool.
This movie. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm just like, oh, I couldn't even finish the movie. But, because I'm starting to have kind of like a rule, like, if you can't, like, really, like, if you can't get me somewhat, even like a spark of interest with me, like within the between like 15 and 30 minutes in,
I'm just like, I can just find, I know I can find another movie that's better worth my time, but that's just me personally. But like, so like Unfriended is kind of in that same wheelhouse, but still, like, I liked Unfriended. Like, and I don't know if it's because I went in with no expectations, but like, I think, but even thinking about it more so, I think I liked Unfriended, like, not because of the characters. The characters sucked. Like, they were terrible people. But like, I liked how they used the elements that they used to elicit fear in the audience and in the characters. I thought it felt really real in a sense, and I liked that about Unfriended. The tension was just not my cup of tea, and I also recently saw Inner Demons. I think that was from that was another recent movie. I didn't like that either. I watched that from beginning to end, and I'm just kind of just like, this is just not great. But yeah, so I always find it disappointing for me when I'll pick a movie out of the bunch on Netflix Instant, and I'm just like, okay, like, let me check this one out. This seems all right, and I watch it, and I'm just like, wah wah, like, it's just not good. So, but you know, it happens.
I have to go back to the tension. I'm sorry.
I know.
I always, like, when I came across it, I was actually really, really looking forward to it because I remember seeing trailers for it. And plus, I really like Joseph Kahn. He's the director. He used to do music videos. Mm-hmm. And even when he did this movie, he pretty much financed it himself. So it's just like, that was freaking awesome. And I remember he filmed it in like, I want to say August of like 2010. And he was done filming it by October 2010. And that's amazing. It's like, either you'll love it or you'll hate it. And it's like, it's a comedy horror. So, of course, you can't really take it that serious. Like, I know that part you're talking about when the movie first opened up. I actually really love that part because it's just like, okay, I was not expecting that. I really like to be surprised when I'm watching movies. And going into this one, like, I knew it was a comedy horror, like I said. So, obviously, when it comes to those, I never take those seriously. So it's just like, I was entertained. I felt like it was like, okay, you have this killer that's on the loose that's like targeting the students at Grizzly Lake High or whatever. And, you know, but it's not just a typical killer. I know it's like Cinderella and it's just like a stupid name from a movie in the movie, you know, but I don't know. I feel like it's, I'm trying to think of a way to put it, but like, I just felt like, even when I remember writing up the review, it's like, even though I know this is an old, no, it's not that old, like 2011, it's the kind of movie where you don't want to reveal much. Like, I even remember writing a review and I barely told anything that happened because I felt like it was so mind-blowing for me. It kind of reminded me, not that it was the same, but this is another movie that a lot of people hate it, but I loved it. It kind of reminded me of Sucker Punch. It's like he took an idea so small and he made it grow kind of within a story, if that makes sense. And I know for sure, even with Zack Snyder, he did that for Sucker Punch, which I absolutely loved. But I don't know. I felt like it was really clever. And out of the ordinary and just different. And I think that's exactly why I like it, because I do like to be surprised. And even with that movie that you said that you watched, Inner Demons, I had checked that out maybe Friday or Saturday, I think, sometime.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I've heard of it and I knew it was being released this month. And it was, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen it before.
Yeah, I mean,
tried.
It was just lackluster, and it relied too much on, how do I describe it? I think it just, I don't even know. Like, I'm still kind of, it was extremely disappointing. I think it was just, I think, not that it's implausible, but it's just, it feels like the main guy who was filming it, he got way too invested in this this possessed girl too fast.
Yeah.
And then they didn't hold back. I don't know if I'm saying this right, but I guess in a sense they kind of showed too much. Like I understand what they were doing as far as to give certain effects that they played with, kind of like, you know, get aroused out of an audience or a viewer, like to scare them or whatever. But it got to the point where they kind of cheapened the idea of her possession. Like, it didn't feel like, you knew it was real, but it still felt kind of cheapened or not. It didn't have the effect that I think. That I think it could have or should have. Like, I guess the easiest way to put this is that we've seen possession movies done much better than Inner Demons, unfortunately.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I keep on saying this. I feel like I'm just repeating my life away. But, like, I usually get scared with these kind of movies, or it makes me feel like, you know. But I wasn't, because I knew that this supernatural tormentor or whatever would never appear, that we would never see it. We would just see certain, oh my gosh, did you guys feel that? Oh, she's screaming, you know? It's just like, whatever. So, I don't know. I feel like it's just like, oh, another, you know, found footage. And it's just like, I like how they try to, oh, you know, it's actually going to be an intervention TV show. Like, maybe if they would have came up with it 10 years ago, it would have been great.
Right.
But it's kind of like, okay, well, you missed that plane or train, or I don't know what other people call it, so.
No, I know what you mean. It's oh my god, I'm having a hard time explaining things tonight. I don't know why. It felt kind of like lost and forget it. It was just not a good movie. I don't care. I clearly don't care enough to talk about it in an articulate way. I don't know why. I feel like Rain Man right now. But
no.
Forgive me. This concludes episode 6 of Girls Will Be Ghouls. You can find me, Ashley, the founder of Graveyard Shift Sisters, at graveyardshiftsisters.com. There's a Tumblr page. It's graveyardshiftsisters.tumblr.com. I'm always on Twitter at Graveyard Sister, as well as like the Facebook page if you dare. Facebook.com/graveyardshiftsisters. Jesus Christ.
Okay, and you guys can find me at realqueenofhorror.com. And you can also find Real Queen of Horror's Facebook page at facebook.com/realqueenofhorror. No spaces, no underscores, just that. And on Twitter, Lovely Xena.
Also, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, if you want to show us some love, if you want to give us some recommendations, please contact us at girlswillbeghouls@gmail.com. That B is not a B-E. It is just a B as in Barbara. One B, girlswillbeghouls@gmail.com.
Oh, and shout out to my mom. Her name is Barbara, and she listens. So when she listens, she'll be happy. I gave her a shout out. Okay, well, thank you all for listening. Until next month.
Peace.